Okay, let's continue from where we left off. We're up to Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. Beis, Yud Beis, Latzulcha Miderech Ra, Me'ish Midaber, Tahapuchos. Shlomo HaMelech continues to tell us that through the study of Torah, through learning Torah, through immersing yourself in Torah, through loving Torah, through desiring Torah, you will be saved from the Derech Ra, from the evil path. Me'ish, you will be saved, you will be spared. We have to repeat the word Latzulcha, Me'ish Midaber, Tahapuchos, from the man that speaks tapuchos, what's double talk? Duplicity. Or tapuchos means the opposite of what you would expect. Let's see over here, Pasuk Yud Beis, the Mitzudos, Miderech Ra, Me'ish, Mipituye Ish. So here it says, he translates the Pasuk, you'll be saved from the pitui, from the enticement of a man, Hamadaber Tapuchos, which speaks duplicity, not duplicity, but mahapech means he overturns. Divrei haTorah achar daitai hamishubeshes. He corrupts Torah. Very, very deep idea. People who take Torah and they use it, they pervert the message of the Torah. They'll take a pasuk in the Torah, they'll take a maimah chazal, and they will provide for the ignorant an interpretation which is heresy, nonsense. And they'll use this as a base to promote their agenda. That's a certain mahal, because someone who's a complete ignoramus won't even quote Maimon Chazal. He'll just promote his agenda and do what he wishes. Here, when a little knowledge is an expression, a little knowledge is dangerous. Someone who thinks they know something, they know they're a shtickle tamor, they went to yeshiva, they think they know something, and they start quoting Chazal, that is very, very dangerous. You have politicians who think they know your religion better than you know your religion. They start telling you what your religion believes. You get into a lot of trouble. That's really the interpretation of the Mitzudos. Rashi says a little bit differently. Me'ish medaber tapuchos heim ha'apikarsim. Who are the people that are medaber tapuchos tapikarsim? She matin es Yisrael mei amu nasan, who mislead the Jewish people from their faith. And then habich the Torah l'ra. Okay, so it's pretty similar to what it says in the Mitzudos. There's a very popular medrash here. I saw this quoted in many sources that we're referring specifically to Paro. Okay, miish medav. Who are we referring to? The medrash says this medrash mishli here on the pasuk. Ze Paro horasha. That's very interesting because we don't normally have that title for Paro. Right? Do we have that in Mechol? Do you ever see that?
I'm not sure.
Paro Harasha, you have Haman Harasha. Haman Harasha. But how often did you ever hear this expression, Paro Harasha? Obviously it was a Rasha, but for some reason it's not a vocabulary. Exactly. So I said Haman Harasha. Yosef HaTzadik. You have different people have their different titles that are used for different Moshe Rabbeinu. Every individual, there is a certain reason why each individual we give them certain titles. Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu wasn't a tzaddik. Eliyahu wasn't our teacher, our Rebbe. Why do we call him Eliyahu HaNavi? Moshe was also a Navi. Moshe was also a tzaddik. It's for whatever the reason is. Moshe Rabbeinu, Eliyahu HaNavi, Yosef HaTzaddik. And when it comes to evildoers, we also, I don't know all the different titles, but we have different names. Haman HaRasha. Okay, and here we have this medrash that calls it Paro HaRasha. Why is he called a Rasha? Shabasha Shahoya Moshe Nichnas Letzlo. Hoya Medabi Babadivai Tapuchos. When Moshe went and spoke to him, Paro kept on changing his mind. He kept on switching sides. For example, when the Gzer came upon him, so Paro said, I'll let you go. And then as soon as the Makkah went away, stopped, he right away changed his mind. So he kept on switching sides.
Given a title, it means there's some special
distinction. Yes.
In Eliyahu, it was a time when the Nevi'im were in hiding, so maybe that's why
he stood out as being the Navi. In Echanami, that's right, absolutely right.
And
Yosef. Yosef. Well, Chazal explained that tzaddik means two things. Either tzaddik means one who provides parnasa, he sustains others. For example, Poseach Hasidach Maspil who chayrot on tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav. Hashem sustains. So he sustains. And tzaddik is also someone who is omeid in a nisoyon, and he was omeid eshes potifar. Right. So he fits that title for two very important reasons. Enochanan. Just wanted to point it out. Now I saw a very interesting idea from the Mamloes. There's a really Mamloes is really fascinating. It's always fascinating. Yeah. There was no Mamloes on Eif, so it was very sad for the last. What about Divrei Hayamim also? Divrei Hayamim, we also did not have Mamloes. There's no Mamloes. Divrei Hayamim Eif, there is no Mamloes. There is no Mamloes.
There's just not enough quotations that he commented on elsewhere that would fit into a book
for someone to come along and make what to
the latter ones, the Nevi'im ones. I don't think he write them.
I believe so.
What they did was they assembled.
Oh really? I didn't know this.
He was by Yikra, and then he died.
So young. So they put together bits and pieces. They spliced together things that were quoted elsewhere, probably. And
are you sure?
Well, I think in Yerushalmi he brings it.
Yalkam Amloyes.
He died. He died when they were doing Vayikra. These were every Shabbos he would give to Russia for 5-6 hours.
Yeah. So they were malakeh from everything he said throughout the Torah, and they made svarim.
It was originally Latino. It was translated.
Yeah. I know. I'm not familiar. Okay, Ari Kaplan translated, but he did not translate the Nevi'im. He translated the Chumash. The Nevi'im were translated by someone else. Okay, but I don't believe. Maybe I'm making a mistake. I don't believe there is an Mamloes on Sefer Iyov. Maybe I'm making a mistake. But now we have on Mishlei, and he has there a Mashal. The Mashal gives. I'll just put it in 21st century terms. Let's say, for example, you have a Reuven. He hates Shema. He's just out to get him. Reuven is a nasty guy. He wants to do him in. And he wants to be mevaze him in a clever way. So, Marshall, okay, it's Elul. Let's make believe. You tell him, you know what? You're going to blow shofar. Shimon, the shul needs a person to blow shofar. Okay. So, and Reuven is the big macha in the shul, and he says, oh, you know what? Trust me. Let Shimon blow the shofar. Shimon will be the Baal Tokeh. And Shimon's a tam, you know. So he convinces the people of the board to allow Shimon. Shimon, they tell him, okay, you're going to blow the shofar. Reuven's kavan is to be mevaze Shimon. He wants Shimon to get up in front of the tzibur and fumble and blow it. Pun intended. And it should be a disaster, and that will be a bizoyon for him and his family. Okay, very good. Plan is going according. Everything is going according to plan. He gets up, Rosh Hashanah, he blows the kiyos, and guess what? It's perfect. Perfect. And everyone goes home from shul and says, did you hear Shimon? Did you hear those tekiyos? Ah, what? We never heard such a Baal Tekeah. So Reuven is burning with anger. That was not my intent. My intent was to be Mevazeh Shimon. And look what happened. It backfired. So the next day he goes in front of the people and he starts making a bilbul and says, you know, Shimon doesn't have a beard. He's not married. He didn't go to mikvah. I don't know. He starts saying, you know, he did this avera. He starts trying to undermine him because he can't take the kavod that Shimon is getting. So now he goes to the extreme. So that's what the Mamloi says. Medabret hapuchos. First, you start out miderech ra, lahatzilcha miderech ra. First, he starts out to put you on a path that's evil for you. You're not about okay. You have no business blowing shofar. But you know what? I'm gonna have you do it. So you should stumble and you should suffer. And then, when it's somehow things don't work out according to your plan, and the person indeed succeeds, then you medaber tapuchos. Then you go out of your way to undermine him the other way around. In order, that's a pure evil. A person who's purely evil would do such a thing, and that's what the pasuk says. That a person who studies Torah will never come to such ideas. Okay, pasuk yudimul ha'izim orchos Yosha. Who are these evil people? These people are people who abandon the paths of Yosher. Lo leches bedarchi choshech. To travel in the ways of darkness. So Mitzudah says, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ha'izim, Ratzalem, Ha'izim, Derech Hamiti. The Yosher, he is translating, is substituting with the word emes. Okay, Yosher is the pair that's upright, and they travel instead the ways of darkness. Now, I saw, I think also, I'm not sure, when Mamloi says that you see the contrast. Yosher, if the darkei choshech is darkness, we have to assume that the ways of Yosher are light. There is or.
So why does it say light? It says
choshech. It's self-sukkah. You can't. That's the derech of these psukim and ksuvim. They're very mekatzer, and you have to add in words. It's assumed there are words that need to be padded. The point he makes is the derech. We had this many times. Derech is a wide road, a highway with six lanes, and an orach is a very narrow path. The Rasha would prefer to go. On, or the common man would prefer to go, on a path, on a wide, open path that's dark, because it's easy. On a wide path, six lanes in the highway, it's easy traveling, but it's not really easy. It's dark. Rather than go on the orach, on a small, narrow path that is well lighted. And that's the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. The tzaddik, he goes, there are very few tzaddikim in this world. And therefore the path, the highway, is not well funded by the government. The government only gives a lot of money for the path, highways that have a lot of travelers. The travelers, the roads that are not frequented by many travelers don't even merit to be listed on the GPS. And don't even make it to the map. That's the Orach Yosher. It's a small, narrow path that's not on the map because only very few people travel this path. The masses, unfortunately, travel on the Derech. But unfortunately, that Derech is Choshech. It's darkness. It doesn't lead to any good, anywhere good. Pasuk Yudalit, Hasmechem, Rashi says, no Rashi, Hasmechem Lasosra, these individuals, they rejoice in doing evil. Yogilu Besapuchosra, they take delight in tapuchos. This is the same mosh I gave you before. This parallels. I don't really know the difference between this pasuk Yudal and pasuk Yudim. There's a lot of repetition. It's almost exactly the same thing. They were just talking about the derech, but here it says they enjoy doing evil, and they yagilu besapuchosra in overturning ra. When things don't go their way, they make sure that it turns out for evil. Now, there are two words. There's the word simcha and gila. So what is the difference in simcha and gila? It's really known with this sasa. I think most unfortunately, they try to differentiate between simcha, sason, and gila. Simcha is the lowest level. Simcha is just an external display of happiness. You do things on the outside, but inside, you don't really know what's doing. Sason is a level of simcha. If I'm not mistaken, according to the game, everything is subject to interpretation, is where a person has inner joy. But there is no joy on the outside. Gila is when they both come together, is when there is inner joy and outer joy. Both joys are... Gila is a revelation, but on a very simple level, a revelation does not indicate what's taking place inside the person's mind. Just because you go to a wedding and you're dancing in a circle, you're dancing doesn't mean that you really feel the joy. Sometimes you're at an event and you're not a participant because whatever the reasons, you're a bystander. But you really have great pleasure in what you are witnessing. That's sason. Simcha is you go through the motions. Gil is where they're both present. Maybe it's a revelation. Gili is a revelation on the outside of what you feel on the inside.
Those are different for Russian, but maybe Gil is more related to a gal, a wave, like a wave of emotion.
A wave of emotion. It's a different interpretation. Okay, everything is subject to interpretation, but these are three very common words that are contrasted. Simcha, sason, and gila. In this pasuk, for whatever reason, we only have two. We have, at least in this tradition, we have the two extremes. Hasmechim lasos ra, they take delight in doing ra. Yogilu besapuchos ra, but the real joy, the extreme joy, comes in their overturning of events in order to bring about ra. Pasuk yidal in the mesudas hasmechim kasher yaschar ra yismchu. When they do, he has a little bit of different interpretation in the mesudas. they do evil, they have joy. They don't have any worries. A person, a Yorei Shemayim, when he does an Avera, is afraid that he'll be struck down by God. A bolt of lightning will come out of the sky and strike him down, or bring upon him sorrows in punishment for his evil. A real Rasha does not have a conscience. He just does whatever he wants. Kasher yasu hara yismuchu v'lo yidagu k'der chamamim v'hashkocha, like a person who has a faith in hashkocha. V'schar v'oinish sha'af im bo liyodo dvar avera. If an avera comes to his hands behasotas hayetzer hara, through the enticement of the yetzer hara, Molly whom he daigom ema sadin, a tzaddik who had momentarily does navera, is overcome with worry, daiga, that he will be punished. Betapuchos, was tapuchos, be'ez yimtsu mokam lapo hakavona achar roa machshavosam. They have delight, they have gila, at the time when they have an opportunity to overturn the kavana, the direction, after their evil plan. Okay, so this is okay. Let's see Rashi. There is no Rashi. Pasik Tes Vav Asher Orchosem Ikshin Unilozim Bimag Losam. Okay, we have two words. We have here Ikshin. Their ways are corrupt. They're crooked. And unilozim. Unilozim means exactly the same thing. It means they are crooked, but it's a word which has a greater intensity. Okay, you could have a crooked nose and a really crooked nose.
Crooked nose.
Different types of crookedness. So the one that you need to go to the plastic surgeon is the one that's unilozim. If it's EK Shnu, you can get away with it. No one's going to take note. That's what you look like. But it's so bad. Like they have picture Haman in all the picture books. Haman with the crooked nose. Okay, that's the word unilozim. It's really crooked. Bimag losam in their path. In their circuit. Amagel, we mentioned yesterday, simply means a path. They are corrupt in their derech hachayim, in their path of life. But it has an allusion, the Magal also discussed yesterday, means a circle. They are corrupt in how they go about, round about, in a circuitous path to bring about their what's it called, evil genius, or evil like a fox, huh? What's the expression? Sly as a fox. Everything's the cheshvan. Everything, their plans in life are all with a cheshvan in order to bring about harm for other people. Some people, they just relish in other people's tzars, and that's what they plan their whole day. Pasuk Yud Tezvav in the Mitzudos, Orchosem Ikshim, their paths are crooked, Rod Solaymar, Ein Chevra Yeshara b'chol darkei limudam. There is no group, upright group, in all of their ways, in darkei, in their derech of life. There's no yosher. Okay, Rashi says unilozim. They are crooked, b'magloisam, in their derech. Kol loshon nilos loshon akmimus. So this word nilos means crookedness. Okay, how do I know this, Rashi? Where do we have? I have a right to this? I don't. I only know this from context. If you study Tanakh, you'll always note that this word, nilois, is always juxtaposed, it's always in the vicinity, in the context of the word ikesh. And that indicates that this word, even though on its own we don't know exactly what it means, but it indicates that there is some type of relationship. The ikesh loshon akum, the word ikesh that we know for a fact, is akum crooked, kemoshen emar, uma'akshim lemeshar, they make what is straight, they make crooked. The pasuk in Yeshaya, they make things that are straight, they make crooked. So there in that context, it's clear as day that it means to make crooked. Now we know that this word nilois is similar, so also means to make crooked. And then next Rashi explains in more detail, unilozim b'magloisam heim akumim b'darkeim hamikukolim, they are crooked in their in their corrupt ways. Everything about a Rasha is crooked and corrupt. Now, what I'm telling you now is not necessarily, I don't really know how this fits into the pasuk, but I saw an interesting idea from the Mam Loes. He says as follows, and again, you have to fit this in on your own into the pasuk, or maybe you don't have to fit it in, it's just an interesting idea. He says that if I present you with a square, let's say I give you a pair of tefillin, tefillin must be perfectly square, and I cheat you, and they're not perfectly square. And I think it's 2%. If it's off by 2%, then halachically it's no longer kosher, something along those lines, because that's already something which is nikar le'inayim, 2%. Or I draw a square, I give you a square. Can you readily tell that it's, can the naked eye immediately discern that it's off? Or a triangle, he says, something with a triangle, three sides. So if it's totally off, you know, it's a rectangle, okay, so it's obvious. But let's say it's a little bit off, where according to halacha, it would be not kosher. A mizbeach must be perfectly square. Tefillah must be perfectly square. And square is defined, I think, by Moshe is by 2%. Because it's something that you can measure. You can measure with regular standard measuring tools. You don't need microscopes. You don't need any high-tech gadgets. Just take a regular ruler and measure, and you'll discover, you know, it's off. And a standard measuring rod, 2% is already a significant... But when I look at it, can I tell? No. The average person cannot tell. If I give you a circle, I draw a circle, and I give you a circle, and the circle is not, it's not perfect. It's not perfect. Can you tell that it's not perfect?
Yes.
Yes. Amazing concept of what the Nam Loi says. A circle, if it's not 100% perfect, the eye can immediately sense there's something wrong. You don't need to make any complex measurements to come to that conclusion. But a square and a rectangle, a square and a triangle, you can't. It requires measurement to perceive that there is something wrong. Now, before we go further, read that into the pasuk. It just occurred to me. Okay, this is not, doesn't say this. There is that we know Chazal say Ein Meruba B'Masei Bereshis. When Hashem made this world, there are no perfect squares. There's no such thing in this world in nature as a square. Everything in the world in nature is circular. It's the earth is not square. The earth is round. Fruits and vegetables. What?
Perfect.
Exactly. Okay, so first Chazal say everything. There's no such thing in this world that is square. That is a Maimah Chazal. So Yushalmi, Ein Meruba B'Masei Bereshis. Yushalmi. Now, does that mean everything is circular in this world? In fact, if I'm not mistaken, there is nothing. Okay, you have to Google this. There is nothing in this world that is perfectly round. Nothing. Everything in this world, fruits, vegetables, there's always some deviation. There's always
there's nothing in this world that can
what?
Be perfect. There's nothing in a material world that can be perfect. There's always going to be some imperfection.
Why is it? It has to be like that. That's the mitzvah. If I'm not mistaken, again, there's nothing that's square. That's nothing that's square. Period. Nothing even resembles a square. But even among the fact that everything is round, the earth doesn't go around the sun perfectly, it goes in the ellipse. The earth is not perfectly round. Fruits and vegetables not perfectly round. No such thing. Nothing. Everything is round. Why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it like that? Well, first of all, nothing is perfectly round because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants us to perfect the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world to finish off the job.
That's the idea of Bris Milah.
That's Bris Milah, exactly. But that's also the point of why nothing is perfectly round. Because perfectly round represents perfection. It represents a cycle of perfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving man an opportunity in this world to participate with him in completing the world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not here to fool us. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would put us in a world with squares, where things are squares, we would be fooled. It would be almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to fool us. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say, think of the world. Everything in the world would be square. All fruits and vegetables would be square. So, but nothing would be perfectly square. If you would take out a measuring rod and you would try to measure an apple, you would notice, oh, it's not perfect. Look, it's off. But to the naked eye, it looks pretty good. You're fooling me, Hashem. You're putting me in a world to trick me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not trying to fool us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka put us in an imperfect world to make us perfected. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everything round because something that's round can't be fooled. You can't be fooled. Something if it's not perfectly round and you show it to the average person, you'll say, listen, it's very nice, good try, but, you know, it's not perfect. Hashem is not here. This is Ma'amar Chazal. In other words, Loi Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I remember the exact words. Hashem is not trying to deceive us in this world. Now, the Mamlois takes this idea. I don't really absorb what he's trying to say. He tries to put that into this pasuk. And it says here, Asher Orcho Seim Iksham, their path is crooked, Uniloizim, and they're crooked in their circuit. I don't really know how that fits into the pasuk, because that means it's obvious, or I don't know, a magal in one interpretation means a circuit, as we said yesterday, and they're crooked in their circuit, in their circle. Well, everyone is crooked in, well, all right, let's leave it at that. It's an idea, I think it's a standalone idea, which is itself worth discussing. We'll leave it like that. Okay, let's go further. Now we have here two types of women. The Torah, through the study of Torah, person will be spared from stumbling from an Isha Zara, a strange woman. Minachuya, Nachuyas, on a very simple level, is a synonym for an Isha Zara, a Goya. Okay, you could say an Isha Zara means she's Jewish. It's just that she's not it's not this person's wife. She's a Zona. But if you would have children with her, they would still be Jewish. A Nachuya means someone that's out of the realm, out of the picture. Amoreha hechaliko, her words are smooth. This Nachuya is smooth talk, and she entices him to do averos. Mitzudos pasuk teh zayin liatzilcha musav lemailo loymar. This goes back on what it says before. If a person will only study Torah, he'll be safe from Isha Zara. He eishes ish, shehi zara loch. This refers to a married woman which is foreign to this individual. Minachuya, meisha hanachuya, from a non-Jewish woman. He asher machalekes amorecha bepitui vehasata, who entices this innocent man to be nichshol with her and bring into this world non-Jewish children. You know, Rashi, yeah?
There's always that parallel between Avodah Zorah and
that's what Rashi says, exactly. Rashi says that we're now referring to, right, Enechnami. This Rashi makes that very strong point right now. Okay, so we just learned, according to the Mitzvah, the similar interpretation of the pasuk is Mamish Znus. Okay, you don't have to go make any, there are no metaphors, there are no mishalim, even though this is Sefer Mishlei, and everything you'd expect to be not to be taken literally, everything is just a parable. No, that's not what the Mitzvah here says. The Mitzvah says, take the pasuk at face value, and I think we did this in the beginning of the Sefer, that's really, he says that everything of course is both. It should be taken at face value, plus there is a mashal, but a person has a yetzer hara. A healthy person has a Yetzahara for Nashim, and it's very dangerous, and he has to safeguard himself from sinning. And part of the formula is to fill up his head with Chochmah. You can have all the safeguards, all the filters, every protection you can possibly have. It's not going to help. A person has the Yetzahara, he's going to just break through all of the safeguards and be nichshol. He has to do something positive to fill up his head with Yirah Shemayim and Divrei Chochma to take away the Yetzahara. And that's what it says on a very simple level according to the Parashah of the Mitzudos. Rashi focuses more on the mashal, on the nimshal. What's the nimshal? Apikorsis. It means minus. A person has a tendency to believe things that are not true, to believe in a hashkafa that is not a Torah hashkafa. That is the Isha Zora, and that is the Nachuya. Rashi?
For the time.
What? Mesanisa. So how are you mitaher learning Torah? Learning Torah is magic. Learning Hashor, Shenogach Esapara, what is an ox scoring a cow, a pregnant cow, or any a regular cow, to do with teaching you to stay away from a woman? The spirituality, the ruchnius that's in a Daf Gemara, magically brings Yirah Shemayim and prevents a person from Hirhurim of Arayos. Pasik Tezai, Miisha Zara, how do you read that word? Rashi Pasik Tezain. I forgot how to read that word. Mikon Seha, how do the first word in Rashi? Pasik Tezain. Pasik Michnosecha Shal Apikursis. What's Michnosecha mean? Entering? Mikinesia. Okay, from a gathering. Mikinesia, from a gathering Shal Apikursis. Isha Zara is a gathering of Apikursis. Vihi Haminus. This is heresy. The Lo Yitachin Loimar. Don't go tell me, don't tell me. Lo Yitachin Loimar Shal Diber Elo. Don't tell me we're discussing like the Mitzudos Pshuta Shal Nikra. We're discussing a Zona or an Eshes Ish Mamish. Kima Shivcha Shal Torah Sheomar Kan Latzilcha Meisha Zara V'loy Me'aveir Acheres. That's the whole praise of the Torah. Shlomo HaMelech was coming to the hill to learn Torah, but learning Torah, oh, so it's going to save you from being Michshol in Eshes Ish. That's only one of many Averos. What about Gezel? What about eating non-kosher? What about all different types? There are the long, long list of sins. There are 365 Lo Sases. So why does the Torah specifically set aside Arayas? So, I mean, it's not obviously it's not Shakasha, because Arayas is probably the most difficult. It's something which we have the strongest Yetzirah. But Rashi says, what's the Maila? What's the Kavod to say that that's the only thing the Torah is so concerned about? Shivcha Shal Torah Sha'amar Kain Latzilcha Meich Azor V'loy Me'aver Acheres Ela. Which Avera captures everything? Minus, Apikorsis, a philosophy in life that is just dead wrong. That is goes against everything that the Torah wants. Elazumina shehu perikas oil. Apikorsis is to break away from you the yoke of heaven, any obligation you have in this world, shall call Han Mitzvah. So Rashi here is making a very powerful statement. This Rashi really sheds a lot of insight into the entire thrust of Sefer Mishlei. Don't get caught up in the details. Okay? Focus on the big picture. The Isha Zar and Achui are two different forms of apikorsis.
You once said, I think, that the Aseret HaDibros,
the first Lo Yia is against Lo Yia
Lochem Acherim. So Avodah Zarah is actually
a form of the parallel.
The only reason Bnei Israel went in at the Avodah Zarah
was in order to be Mat Arayos, to do Arayos and Chanan.
Very strong.
Right, you're right. Very good. The two are definitely related. It's the Hano. It's Prikas oil. Arayos is always limitation, restrictions, discipline. It represents the strongest degree of discipline, and recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekabolas Ol Malchus Shemayim. The yoke of heaven requires me to behave a certain way. When a person worships idols, he's breaking away the Ol Malchus Shemayim, and that opens up the door to do whatever you want to do. There are no limitations. There is no longer discipline. Eimachanami. Okay, let's see over here the next pasuk. Now the pasuk here elaborates, and pasuk Yitzan elaborates what exactly is the problem with this person who is nichshol in eishes ish. Hayzeves aluf nurecha. We're describing what is the nature of this woman. This woman who commits adultery abandons the aluf nurecha. Now the aluf means the sar. Okay, this is a very powerful word. Aluf, Esav had 11 alufim, 11 chiefs, and a chief is a sar. Aluf is not a melech, but it's a madrego lower than a melech. Interesting to take note that you know a chasan, doimel melech. There are three stages. A chasan is in the middle. When he gets married, he's doimel lemelech. When he's a bachar, I'm telling you a joke now, but it's not a joke. A bachar it's mamish melech. And a married man is an eved. So when a person gets married, he goes from a stage of melech to eved. And in between, there's Sheva Brachos, where he's doimel lemelech, like the good old days.
You know, melech is imagination.
What?
Melech backwards, which is klum.
Klum, kalem, kalem, bilam, wipe mat. So here, I just want to take note. I don't know the significance of this. But here, this woman who is abandoning her husband does not view her husband as a melech. She views her husband as an aluf. He's just a prince, a sar. That's the term it says. She abandons her zeves aluf nureha. She abandons the prince of her youth, the man that she committed herself to. Why doesn't it say the melech of her youth? She never considered her husband to be a melech. V'yaz bris eloi keha, the bris of her God, referring to the Shbaruch Hu, shochecha, she has forgotten. So this pasuk is simply telling us that when a woman commits adultery, she's doing it a double avera. Number one, she has abandoned her loyalty to her husband, ben Adam lachavero, and also she has committed a major crime against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so every form of arayos is double, and that's what the pasuk simply says. Look at the pasuk Yitzayin aluf nureha, bal nureha. Okay, the husband of her youth. V'yes bris, ki gam hanosh michnesu bebris Hashem lekaimitz Hashem. Women also are part of the bris. Women also have obligations. V'loy simol me'al b'isha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has warned her in the Torah not to commit a transgression, a crime against her husband. So whenever a woman commits adultery, she has done a double avera. Now let's see Rashi, pasuk. There is pasuk tes. Zayin, we did already pasuk, so there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Okay, now there is a Medrash. The Medrash says that Aluf Nureha, we're referring to Torah, and Aluf means the study of Torah. Torah is called the Aleph base. Aluf Bina. The Alufcha, what's the pasuk in Iyav? We had the pasuk in Iyav. The word aluf, it means the aluf base. Aluf means to teach. Aluf ulpan. Aluf bina. Aluf means to study. To study knowledge. When a person does arayos, this is a sign that he has abandoned the study of Torah. Because if he was committed to the study of Torah, that itself would inspire him, would calm down the Yetzirah. And when it says beris elokecha, means the commitment to observe the mitzvahs. Two different categories: Talmud Torah and mitzvahs. This is what it says in the Medrash. Besides the Pashup Shat, it means the woman, her husband, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Talmud Torah and the commitment to Kiyum HaMitzvos, because the Kiyum HaMitzvos we accepted at Har Sinai with a Beris. Karas Hashem Atem Nitzavim Hayom Lachem Lofnei Hashem Lachem Rashechem Shedechem what's the pasuk going to say? You'll pass through the bris Hashem Elokecha. In fact, there were three larvacha bris. In fact, there were three treaties. There were three brisim. There was a bris in Har Sinai, a bris I think in Morah, and a bris in Arvos Moyav. So that, what was the bris? The Kiyum HaMitzvos. But there's also Talmud Torah, and that's the two different parts of this Torah. Okay, next. Now we go to the next pasuk Yitches, ki shocha el moves beisa v'al refa'im mag loitzecha. A man that is nichshol in arayos, he suffers doubly. This woman will lower him down into the grave, el moves beisa, into the death of her home. We'll read the mitzvot. V'al refa'im, refa'im is gehenim mag loitzecha. That is the path. The person's bias, his new home will be the grave for his body, and his neshama will go into the place of the along the magal, the path of refa'im, of gehenim. Okay, before we see the mitzvot, what the pasuk basically means is when a person normally does an avera, So you only suffer in one world. Person suffers by dying. He suffers punishment and he dies. But then when he goes to the next world, okay, he already got what he deserved. So in the next world, he'll go to Olam Haba. He'll suffer in this world. But Arayos is so great. The sin of Arayos is so great, he loses double. He loses this world, and he also forfeits the next world.
That, I'm glad I once let him shot.
She talks
him to death.
She talks him to death.
Get him to commit avarice that will cause him to die.
She gets him. She
verbally gets him to
entices him.
I need money.
Sicha. Okay. Sicha normally is spelled with a sin. So you want to say here it's going to be with a samach. It's samach. I don't know. Okay. I hear what you say. Let's look at the mitzudos pasuk yud ches. Pasuk yud ches beis hazona hi makom nidroin loredes bo el hamisa. It is her home. Besa means the home of the zona. This isha nochriya, this isha zara, her bias. Her bias is a place that will cause him to descend into the grave. Beis hazona himokam midran is a slope, a slippery slope. It's a place with a low incline. Lo doredes bo el hamisa. Maglo seha means a path. Aholchem el beisa, those that go into her home, holchem hema el makom harefarm, they end up going into Gehenim. Hem hamesim, reform still means the place of the dead.
The dead themselves.
Okay. Shenirpu v'nichlashu. Why is the dead called refoim? Because refoim lashon of weakness.
By the way, in modern Hebrew.
Yeah.
Word refoim means ghosts.
A ghost, okay. Shenirpu v'nechleshu v'koicham tosh. The shorish of rifoim is of a rafui. Rafui means weak. Okay, rafui means weak and loosened. V'ratzalaymer haboel beiso yuchshlu ba v'oved nafsho. A person who goes there, his nesham will be lost. So he's Masud is alluding a little bit to the Merish, which refers to the reform is the place of the Gehenim. Let's see Rashi yitches ki shochel mavas beiso musav al lahatzilcha. Torah will save you from this slippery slope. One thing leads to another. After the person is nichshol with this isha, the isha zara, the nachriya, he'll go into her house many times. Musav al hatzilcha ki tovay el beisa yishach umachlik. He will stumble and slip ki midrain, like a midrain, like a slope hayarid el mavis that goes down to the grave. A slippery slope. The Torah tishma lecha. So this all goes back to the beginning of the passing of the parak, that the Torah will guard you. Min the fila zo hare davar gadol hu lecha. It is different. Torah is a very great thing. Torah can prevent you from losing this world and the next world. Rifoim nirpim miderech hatov. They are weakened from derech hatov. V'nezovim me'ein semech, and they are abandoned without any support. Ad shenoflim begehenim, until they fall into Gehenim. So Rashi clearly defines no Noah, no remazim. Rashi is explicit. The word rifoim means Gehenim, alluding to what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says umaitz danias ha'isha mar mimaves. Okay, that pasuk in Gehelas. This Medrash is Bamidbar Rabbah. In Bamidbar Rabbah, Perek Tes pasuk Yudbeis umotze ani eso isha mar mimaves. It's mar mimaves eso isha. Why is a woman more bitter than death? Because death, when a person dies, at least he goes to Olam Haba. But a woman, an evil woman, can cause a person to die and to lose Olam Haba. So it's worse than just death alone. Ketzad, why is she, I'm reading the Medrash, why is she Marmi Maves? Shehino Seneslo Yisurim Olam Hazeh. First of all, she caused the man to suffer in this world. Shu Toya Chadecha Ulba Saif. And then after he suffers in this world, Mayrida Oisai La Gehenim, she takes him to Gehenim as well. Shenemar Kish, and the pasuk in Bamidbar Rabbah quotes the pasuk over here that Kishocha El Moves Beisa. Read the pasuk backwards. When you go to her Beisa, when you go to her home, what you're doing is you're going down to death. And then what else are you doing? You're also going down to V'el Rifoim Magloi Seha. You're going down the path to Gehenim. Okay, now we go to pasuk Yotes. Kol Bo Echa Lo Yeshuvun V'lo Yasigu Orchos. Chaim. There's a scary pasuk. Once a person stumbles down the slippery slope, there's no return. It's impossible to ever purge the sin from your neshama. Those that are bo'eha, sin, those that come upon her, those that enter into her home, that have a relationship with her, lo yeshuvun, they never can be restored. It's a one-way street. V'lo yasigu orchos chaim, they will never reach the ways of life, meaning they'll never come to olam haba. A person that's nichshol in these type of sins, it's a one-way street. Mitzudos. So that's what's very. It's a very. There are a lot of Amari Chazal that talk about this, and it's a very difficult. It's very difficult to understand what this means.
Because he doesn't say.
He says. So let's see. Pasuk Yud Tes is very good. So Yenechnani Kol Abona Alehol Lo Yishu Midarkam Hara. They don't return. Ki Kasha Meod Lifrosh Mimen. It's very hard to break away. It's an addiction. Something when a person is nichshol this type of thing, it's basically telling you that there's an addiction. Okay, so the mitzudos is softening it. The midrashim are not so generous. The midrashim seem to say that you can't. There's no return. Okay, let's see what it just says.
What about
Ruth? Rus. What about Zona? What about Rachav Hazona?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's read the words first. Let's go one step at a time. Okay. Let's go one step. Kol haboy malecha lo yeshuvun midarkam araki kasha meod lifrosh mimena. It's addictive. That's the main yisod. V'lo yasigu od me'ata orchos chayim. You'll never. The person will never see the path of life. In emar af l'moshel al. Al darke ki kosh al darki. Not sure what that means. V'yafl moshal al darki ki koshem od lifrosh mimena achar shohurgul bo. If a person goes down this path, this derech of arayos, the mitzudos is consists of arayos, it's very hard to break away. Like they say, I heard this from a mechanech, I was shocked. I heard this from a mechanech, he told me, he says, why are we so makbid with the children not to let them play, to go on the internet and to play all these video games? I right away thought it's because they're going to see all these things, whatever, all these noshim, and it's going to taint their holy neshamas. I think that's what the average person would say, right? You don't want a child to be exposed to these images. So he says, no, that whatever he'll see, no, it'll wear off. He'll get all the time will. The problem is the addiction.
Right.
That's the so that parents don't understand that. Parents are willing to let their children see things they shouldn't see. All right, we can handle that. They'll outgrow it, hopefully. That's not so simple either. Not everyone agrees with this concept. But it's delicious. It's just, and for a child, it's just so delicious. And you're addicted. And the addiction doesn't take more than a day or two. And then you just have to have more. And you can't break out of that addiction. And that sets a pattern of behavior which is beyond return. And that's really what it says over here. According to the Mitzudos, he's not telling you over here, look at the Mitzudos, that idea is said in the Mitzudos. He's not telling you, the man was nichshol, he did not arise. So he did an avera. So big deal, he did an avera. Everyone does averas. In tzaddik, baris, shayas, different types of averas. So he did an avera. What's so terrible? So the Mitzudah says, the problem is, kol baruch lo yeshuvun, it's not the avera. You could do tshuva for the avera, but you can't break out of the addiction. It's kosher to get out of that mahalach in life. Okay? Every person has an addiction. There's no such thing. Every single person has an addiction, whether it's to a certain type of food, a certain type of activity, different madrigos. When the addiction is extreme, then you need professional help.
So that's what was down there three times?
Naskeheta. Yes. What does the Melech say?
Oh. What would happen?
Yeah.
So happened a person had an addiction.
Yeah.
And he really worked on himself.
Yeah.
And somehow he managed to drag himself back.
Oh, he's good. But the Mitzuda says, Koshem Oot. The Pasuk says categorically you can't break an addiction. The Mitzuda says, don't take it literally. Don't get too excited what it says in the Pasuk. It just means it's hard. It's hard to break an addiction. That's all it says. Moshe Rabbeinu at the Teva of Ratzah, that's a controversial medrash. The Teferet Shal was censored because of that medrash. In the back of the Teferet Shal, he says of a story, talking about this story. The story is, I don't know if there's a real story true to this, is that the Goyim of the ancient world were intrigued by Moshe Rabbeinu. They sent spies to the desert to draw an image of Moshe Rabbeinu. So they drew an image, they sent it back to people who are experts in facial recognition. They read the lines on your forehead and they tell you your midos. And they told the king, that this person is a mushkas, has the worst possible midos in the world. So the king executed the artists, the spies that drew the image, and he sent out a new team, new drones. And he destroyed the drones. He sent out new drones to capture with better resolution, higher resolution, to capture the image of Moshe Rabbeinu. Came back, they presented to the king. The king brought in his experts. They analyzed the images. And they said Moshe Rabbeinu has the worst midos, a tzeach, about taiva, so on and so forth. The king Nachamal, that happened a few times. The king said it can't be that all the images are all wrong. So the king himself went to Moshe Rabbeinu and Kachal, that's exactly what he looked like. And he asked Moshe, how can it be? According to my scientists, you should be. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're right. That's my natural tendency. But I worked on myself. I overcame my bad midos and I became who I am. This story was printed in the original version of the Tiferes Yisrael, but it's no longer there. In the new editions, I believe it's not there because many people have questioned if this is really authentic. And if you can even say such a thing about Moshe Rabbeinu, that his DNA was not 100%.
But
whatever.
Said, however, of David HaMelech.
Yeah.
Because he is described as
reddish.
As red,
reddish.
Comparatively to Esau, which means he also had these
tendencies to shed blood.
Yeah.
Okay, in a chanan, you have to know what that means exactly.
There's something called sublimation,
yeah,
where a person who, let's say, has these tendencies becomes a surgeon or something else. He takes those tendencies
and he channels it for something positive. Positive, yes, absolutely. Okay, this is scary stuff. Let's see what it says in Rashi. Lo yeshuvun yiksha b'yeinehem lifrosh men v'lach sabohem. Rashi also, he softens the blow of this chazal, of this pasuk. It's hard to separate from the addiction. V'lach sabohem. Now let me read you the Gemara. The Gemara is not so generous. Pasuk says here, kol bo'echa. I'm reading you from a Gemara. Okay, this is not some esoteric medrash. This is a Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin. Kol bo'eha lo yishuvun v'lo yasigu orchas chaim. So first of all, the Gemara says that it's referring to minus. We're now referring to the addiction of arayos. That's not so terrible. That's terrible, but that's not what we're discussing over here with apikorsis, a person that is fully immersed in a false philosophy on life. Now it says, The Gemara's focus is v'chimi'achar shloy shavu heichon yasigu orchas chayim hachi kamar im yashuvu lo yasigu orchas chayim. They're not going to survive. There's a grammatical difficulty in this pasuk. It says lo yeshuvun. They will not return. That's a statement on a very simple level, a very simple translation. Those people that follow, called Bo'era, who have entered into this arena, you've come into this arena, you're not leaving. Okay, I'm not leaving, so I'm here. Then Lo Yasigu, they're not going to achieve, they're not going to reach the ways of life. I don't want the ways of life. I've entered into a new world. I've entered into the arena of apikorsis. I never left. If I would want to leave, I have a charata, and I make an about face, and I try to go in the other direction, and now then it tells me, you're locked in. You're not going to make it out. But it doesn't say that. It says, you go in there, you don't even want to go out. Lo yeshuvon. It's a statement. If you're not going out, so the word yasigu doesn't fit in the end of the pasuk. The word yasigu has a connotation. You're trying. I'm trying to do tshuva. But you're not trying to do tshuva. That is the Gemara's question in Masechta Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says what you have to do is, you have to add invisible words into the pasuk. Okay, in Echnami, the pasuk is chaser, and you have to add into a middle clause. If you will try, if when you're in this arena and you realize, I really messed up, this is not a mahalach, this is not a way of life to live such a lifestyle, I want to do tshuva, the pasuk says, lo yasigu, you'll never make it. You'll never make it out. This is what the Gemara doesn't. It's a black hole. Afilu im yeshuvu b'tshuva lo yasigu orchos chayim. He quotes here from Rashi. Rashi there in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Yud Zayin, ela yimaharu lomus. Your person will die mitoch tsara ukefias yitzram v'zo gezeres hamelech aleihem lomus. Okay, so you have to know what Rashi means. What Rashi seems to be saying is that the pain of trying to do tshuva, he actually gives a ma'aseh here. This is a medrash. I will quote that in a moment. That the tsar of realizing your mistake will kill you. I'll read you the medrash. The medrash is ma'aseh be'isha achash shebasa itzel Rabbi Eliezer l'liskay. It was a ma'aseh. A woman came to Rabbi Eliezer to convert. So Rabbi Eliezer said to her, "Tell me what's your story." So she said to him. I'm a very evil woman, and my youngest son is the child of my oldest son. That is by me the lightest aver that I have done, incest. Okay, she had a relationship with her oldest son, and her youngest son is a child, and that was nothing. But now I realize my whole way of life is wrong. I want to do tshuva. I want to be megayer. So what did Rabbi Eliezer do? Rabbi Eliezer, you have to remember, Rabbi Eliezer was a tough guy. He was a shamute. He was a talmid of Beis Shammai. He was a no-nonsense individual. So nozaf ba, he said, get out of here, you shegetz. Arois, he threw her out. Such a manuvelas. So who did she go to? Who was Rabbi Eliezer's Rabbi Yoshua? Rabbi Yeshua was a nice guy. He was like a Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. He was a Beis Hillel. He was a nice guy. So the kibla. And he said, of course, there's a process. I'll set you straight. Amrulo Talmidav, Rabbi Eliezer Merachek, Viato Mikarev. Rabbi Eliezer, your friend, he got rid of her and you're so generous. Now I'm going to tell you that I don't know what it means. I saw this in the field swarm and everyone tries to give a parish and I really don't know what it means. And they tie into this pasuk and take it for whatever it's worth. This is Koheles Rabbah. Koheles Rabbah, I saw this in these three svarim with these three perushim. The Gemara and Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is I don't think it's a Gemara. I don't believe it's a Gemara. I think it's only a Medrash. So the Gemara is the first part. But let me read what it says there. Amar lohem. So he told him. Yeshua says to them, Kevan shenos nadata lehiskayer, eina chayel le'olam. I'm not trying to be makarifer. In other words, let her try to do tshuva. And don't worry, she's going to die right away. Because as soon as she begins to do tshuva, the recognition of what she has done thus far in her life will eat her up alive and she'll die in tsar. And to prove that, I'm not just making this up out of my mind, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says, a person that goes down this path of life, of apikorsis and minus and so on and so forth, lo yeshuvun, they'll never make it out. And if they try to make it out, lo yasigu orchos chayim, when they try to do tshuva and it hits them like a pile of bricks, what have I done? When you realize, you look back, what have I done? The Agmas Nefesh is so great, a person dies from that realization, that awareness of his great sins. So basically, what Mepharsha is trying to say is this woman, we don't want this woman to be Megar because she's a bad influence. Very good. She'll do. Okay, you have to understand what the context is. It doesn't make any sense. I don't want to tell you who says anything like that. But let's make believe like this. You have here a woman who did the worst of the worst and the worst. And now, let's say, I don't want to give him a shalom. Think about a very big wicked people in this world. All of a sudden, you know, I killed a million people. I want to do tshuva. I want to go sit in Kailul Chazainish in Bnei Brak and sit and learn. People are going to walk. They're not going to accept. We can accept this. We can accept. The Gadol Hadar is allowing a mass murderer to do tshuva and sit in Kailul Chazainish and get shlishi. It's not acceptable in society such a thing. Oh, but he wants to do tshuva? So go to the other end of the world, go to the North Pole and do tshuva and sit there in isolation, do tshuva. Don't come and sit among us. We can't tolerate having among us a person that's committed such crimes. So this was the time that the people had to Rabbi Yeshua, what are you doing? Very good, he's sincere, he wants to do tshuva. You're going to accept this person back into society? You have to take into consideration the feelings of other people. He's a mass murderer. So Rabbi Yeshua says, don't worry, he'll never make it. He'll never make it. The moment he does the first slach lanu, and it really hits him what he did, I see that he's sincere, so I know that the moment that he realized what he did, the tsar, the agmas nefesh, will instantly kill him. So he'll never make it to the point where he's going to be a source of pain for other people in the community. Yeah.
I don't think the objective was to kill the person. I think it's a parallel to the...
It's a metzias. It's a reality.
I think it's a parallel to the story of Rav Elazar ben Drudaya, whose only kapara was through Nisa. And I think that's what is being suggested here, that the only kapara, if a person really wants to do tshuva, ultimately is Nisa.
A different approach.
How does that...
That's a whole different idea.
A whole different, you know...
Otherwise you're in a position where you're saying, well, he wanted to kill her, so he...
That's... No, he's not saying he wants to kill her. The people over here in this medrash are having bitter complaints against Rabbi Yehoshua. Why you accept the person to do? Why you accept the person? No, there's something called Geiris. A guy. So the guy didn't hurt a fly. He's a good guy. He does what he's supposed to do, and he wants to be. He wants to join Klal Yisrael. Gesund hate. Here we have a person, a woman that was the lowest of the law. The lowest of the law.
Yes.
She now wants she and she obviously she's responsible for a lot of very bad things in for Klal Yisrael. She now wants to do tshuva. It's just not acceptable for the average man to see such a thing, to see this woman, no matter how sincere she is, to be part of society.
That's why we say
to be part of our society.
Our society, yeah.
We say that Ain't
tzaddikim gvur b'chom lamayis. A separate place.
Right.
Their own makom.
That's what they say.
The Kotska.
But the truth is, it's the people who smell it, they know it's a smell, but not really smells. Look at the solution for her. Once she does gvur, she becomes like Tinek Shinoila.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have any avers of mamzerus.
That's the contradiction. That chazal is a contradiction to this pasuk. This pasuk says, see, that's what I'm trying to reconcile. There's one thing, you have a person who's a non-Jew from the Hasidei Umosol, even an average guy. Good, they want to convert. They're not coming from the Sitra Achra. They're just parva goyim. A parva guy wants to convert. But when you have an icon, you have a guy that is a Rosh Merusha, and he wants to convert. Okay, you can do tshuva. Everyone can do tshuva. But for him to be accepted in our society is what the people appear. This is how I'm trying to understand Shana's Chazal. This was unacceptable for Klal Yisrael. They were not willing to allow this woman to be accepted in our society as a regular citizen, yeah, based upon her past.
But it sounds it would be much worse if you had someone who was born a Jew. I mean,
Downstairs.
There is a Hebrew. It's much worse if someone was born and he was born Tachas Kamfei Shechina and he wanted to help us grow up, so then he gets addicted, he can't do tshuva. It's hard for him to do tshuva and to come back up the slope. But someone is completely a guy to become... Well, to become a ger and accept him,
yeah,
it's a different story completely. So the Gemara is, you know, I understand Rabbi Yeshua,
yeah,
and I understand the reaction of the Talmidim, but it's...
All right, it's different. Okay, we'll stop over here.